Captain Kidd, Part 3.
So Batman then sent his men with picks and shovels down to Gardner's Island, where they uncovered 11 bags of gold dust, gold coins, ingots, bars, silver bars, coins, buttons, silver pieces, plus 17 ounces of diamonds, rubies, emeralds, of value at about $100,000. Today, it would be a staggering amount. And so he posted away a message to Rhode Island Governor Cranston and Colonel Stamford to make a strict search of old pirate Captain Thomas Paine's house at Canonical Island before he could have noticed. Belmont later reported that it seems nothing was found at Paine's house, but Paine has since produced 18 ounces of gold, as appears by Governor Cranston's letter, and he pretends it was bestowed on him by Kidd. I am of opinion that he has a great deal more of Kidd's goods still in his hands. How right Belmont was, for the treasure sat deep in the dirt under Paine's house for 192 years. Apparently, Paine just couldn't spend it all in his lifetime. Belmont also sent a message to the authorities in Connecticut to seize and send Thomas Clark, a prisoner, to New York, accused of transporting Kidd's crew and treasure into Connecticut colony. Belmont also had Major Selleck's warehouse at Stamford search, but none of Kidd's treasure was found there. Thomas Wisking Clark was soon released from the New York jail, and no one has seen or heard from him since. Kidd never revealed to Belmont and the English authorities, nor apparently to his partner Livingstone either, that he buried the most precious jewels and gold items from his two Moorish prizes somewhere on an island in New England. Sometime between May 20th and July 1st in 1699, it is made up in a bag, said Darby Mullins before he was hanged with Kidd. Put in a little box, locked and nailed, corded about and sealed. But Darby wouldn't say where Kidd's personal treasure in the little box was buried. On May 23rd, 1701, neither Kidd nor Mullins were thinking about treasure. On that day, they were marched out of Newgate Gaol and for 3 hours were pushed and shoved by a drunken mob who shouted at them to reveal where the treasure was hidden until they arrived under guard at execution dock on the muddy flats of the Thames River at Wapping. By the time they got to the gallows at 3 p.m., both Kidd and Mullins were roaring drunk, having been fed spirits along the route by celebrating crowd. It was workman's holiday at Wapping, aptly called the hangman's fair. Staggering with the rope around his neck, Kidd blurted, "My lord, this is a very hard sentence. For my part, I am innocent, and I have been sworn against by perjured persons." The trapdoor of the staging was released, and Kidd fell through, but the rope broke, and Kidd landed knee-deep in the mud flats. The crowd went wild, cheering and laughing, and they extracted him from the mud, still alive and still drunk. The crowd protested when the constables escorted him back to the gallows for a second try. The broken rope indicated God's judgment that Kidd was innocent, so most in the crowd believed that he was innocent. However, nevertheless, he was hanged again, successfully the second time, and Mullins soon followed him into eternity. And so the songs, poems, and legends began, and the man who swore to his dying day that he wasn't a pirate became the most famous pirate in the world. After death, his body was painted with tar and gibbeted in chains on the riverbank at Tilbury Fort for all the mariners to see and reflect on as they came and went on the sea. Even without his supposedly ill-gotten goods, Captain Kidd died a wealthy man. and his family was well cared for financially. One strange quirk of fate that made him even richer was that his best friend and brother-in-law Samuel Bradley, who sailed with him in the Adventure Galley and Quetta Merchant, died before Kidd was hanged. He had been put ashore by Kidd at Angula because he was sick and feverish, and there he soon died. In his will, he left his beloved friend William Kidd all his property on New York City's Wall Street. If Kidd had lived, he would have owned more than half of America's famed financial district. Still in private circulation throughout the world, but especially in New England and Nova Scotia, are what is known as the Kidd-Palmer charts. They are treasure maps secreted in various places, supposedly by Captain Kidd before he was executed. Hubert and Guy Palmer, brothers and noted attorneys in Sussex, England, during the early part of the century, also were avid collectors of authentic pirate paraphernalia. In 1931, they discovered one of these controversial charts in a secret drawer of a 17th century oak bureau that they had purchased at auction. Wrapped in a brass tube hidden in the secret compartment, Hubert reveals, was a nautical chart of the China Seas, which denoted an island there where Kidd hid his treasure. Apparently, sometime shortly after the mutiny of his men at Madagascar, this chart was the incentive for Richard Knight and Fred Graham to go searching for Kidd's treasure at Phu Quoc, Vietnam, in 1983. Others had attempted and failed before them. In 1933, the Palmer brothers bought an old sea chest from a Pamela Hardy of Jersey, whose ancestor, Captain Thomas Hardy of the HMS Victory, had taken from pirate Ned Ward, Kidd's boatswain mate aboard the Adventure Galley. The Palmers discovered a false bottom in this chest, which contained a piece of parchment with the sketch of an island on it, marked in red ink. In the middle of the island sketch was an X and written, Kidd's treasure, but there is no indication where this island is located. Another sea chest that Palmers acquired that same year had the inscription, William and Sarah Kidd, their bags, carved into it. This chest also contained a secret compartment and the drawing of an island map on old parchment. Although it was a different island, it showed the locations of 8 caches of buried treasure belonging to Kidd. Again, there are no longitude or latitude markings on this map, so there is no way of knowing where this island is. The Palmer brothers are now dead, but 2 cartographers have deemed the Kidd-Palmer charts as genuine. Many treasure hunters today use these charts in an attempt to find those special treasure islands, searching everywhere from Canada, New England, and New York to West Indies. No one yet, to my knowledge, has found the islands that fit the shapes and topography of Kidd's sketches. If you enjoyed this program, please subscribe, like it, and share it. In the statement of Edward Davis of London, mariner, made during the proceedings against Captain Kidd in Boston. And here's one of the excerpts that is more relevant to us treasure hunters. And that upon the arrival at the Hoorkills, Hoorie spell Hoorkills, Hoorkills, in Delaware Bay, there was a chest belonging to one James Gillam, put ashore there and at Gardner's Island. There were several chests and packages put out of Captain Kidd's sloop into a sloop belonging to New York. In Delaware,
So in Delaware Bay, Kit bought stores and five of the people of Luz were thrown into jail by the Pennsylvania authorities for having traded with him.